بسم الله والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اكتبنا منهم اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك اللهم إني ضعيف فقوي في رضاك ضعفي وخذ الخير بناصيتي واجعل الإسلام منتهى ردائي اللهم إني ضعيف فقوني وإني ذليل فعزني فإني فقير فارزقني واغنني آمين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the hearing channels of our hearts to His remembrance, to His words, and impress in our hearts the true meaning, the one that changes the hearts to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with, which is transformational. We declare our bankruptcy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us by our forelocks to where He is pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to honor us in spite of our actions which lead us to disgrace, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at our poverty, our spiritual poverty, and enrich us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove us from misguidance and bring us into guidance. And the best guidance is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings and explanation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as we have just summarized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath of Noon and on the Qalam and testifies to the sanctity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sanity, that all the accusations that were made against him are false. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about and certifies that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on the highest pedestal of good akhlaq. Okay, anybody can tell you, you know, people compliment each other, you are so generous, you are so kind, you are so helpful, and you feel good about it. Now imagine if Allah tells you that you are the best in all characteristics. How reassuring it must have been for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially with all the accusations and insinuations that were being made against him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say that you will come to know soon, and they will also come to know who is the maftoon, who is the one who is truly insane. And Allah knows those who have deviated from the right path and those who are on the right guidance. Next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Therefore, do not obey, do not follow those who are liars, those who deny the truth, those who deny Allah, those who deny the kalam of Allah, those who deny the akhirah, because those are the main things that are going on the theme at this time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not obey them. Now, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam obey them? No, he was not obeying them. And as we said, it's always to be translated for us. This is not just a kalam for 1400 years. He's telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not obey these people who deny. So in today's application, not only does it mean that when you come across people who deny, who ridicule Islam, you do not obey them, you do not support them in any way, you do not befriend them, you do not have any resemblance with these people and their character traits. Okay? Because you will be identified on the Day of Judgment with the kind of people you kept company with. Okay? So, these are the people who denied the truth, such as Abu Jahl, such as Al-Ikhnas ibn Shariq, such as Al-Walid ibn Mughira, and we talked about that. And these are people who knew the truth. I think I told you last time the story of at night they used to go and listen. Did I tell you that last time?
Yeah.
They used to listen. And they used to tell each other they are not going to come. Yet they used to go because the words were so powerful. And their logic was that if we give them this, accept this message, then this branch of Abdul Manaf will take precedence over us because we cannot bring a prophet to match. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not obey them. He says, "Waddu law tudhinu fayudhinu." Should not obey them because they wish. Waddu means they love, they desire that you tudhinu, that you compromise. So, fayudhinu, then they will compromise. In other words, they have no principles. They have no true belief. They are willing to compromise their belief. So they want to make a deal with you. Okay? And the deals were offered to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam early on, as some of you might remember. You know, they came to the Prophet sallallahu, they came to him. He didn't listen. They went to his guardian and uncle, Abu Talib, who was the chief of this branch of Banu Hashim. And said, you know, tell your nephew. They came as a group of people, of the leaders, about 10, 15 of them, among which was Abu Jahl and Utbah and Shaiba and all of these people, Al-Walid. And they came and they said, tell your nephew, don't sort of say anything derogatory about our gods. So make a deal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued his dawah. His dawah was not focused on, you know, sort of calling names to their gods, but the dawah of tawheed, of calling them away from that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they saw one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making tawaf. So some of them came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, look, we have no problem. You are born here. You are well respected, you are honorable. Let's do this. You worship our God and we worship your God. So there is no problem. This is compromise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, when this proposal was made of compromise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed which surah? قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. That tell them that you worship your God, I worship my God. You won't worship mine, I won't worship it. That's it. For you is your deen, for me is my deen. So that didn't work. Then they went back to Abu Talib and said to him, look, you're not stopping your nephew. If you don't stop him, because he's causing problems for us, then we will do whatever it takes to stop him. Now this was a threat. So Abu Talib, old man, he calls Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, nephew, in my old age, why do you want to get me into trouble? I love you, I support you, but I am from them. And he continued to worship what they were worshipping. But so why don't you back off, essentially? Stop. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in response to that proposal, made that famous statement that my uncle, if they were to put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, you know, I would not give up my da'wah. Okay. Then they approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again, and Utbah bin Rabi'ah came and said, let's do this. If you are looking for recognition, we will make you the leader of Makkah. If you are looking for wealth, we will give enough money that you will become the richest among us. If you want to be a king, we will make you king of Makkah. And in some narrations, if you are looking for women, we will get you the best women of Makkah to be your wives. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had only one answer, that I have one message. Then one of them came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the same thing, in response to which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited Surah Sajda. And Utba bin Rabia came that time. He was one of the leaders. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, same thing, you are an honorable man, you're causing difficulties, let us compromise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he had finished all of his offerings, including the offerings like, you worship, we will worship our gods 1 year, you will worship. When he denied that, he said, okay, you worship, we'll worship your God 11 months, you can worship our God 1 month. We will worship your gods 364 days, you worship one God. You know, making deals, because they have no principles, no real faith. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam denies all of that, and when he was finished all of his offering, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read to him, recited to him Surah Sajda, Alif Lam Mim Sajda. And when it came to, according to some narrations, at the end of the 13th ayah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and if you don't accept, then be sure that the adab that came to Ad and Thamud will come to you. And at that, according to some narrators, Utba put his hands on the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he got afraid. He said, don't say anymore. And he went back. And the people said to him, you know, your face has changed when you've come back. He said, I have heard something that I have never heard before. Because we should read this at some point. It's very powerful ayahs. And he said, my advice to you is, leave him alone. If the other Arabs want to come and kill him, his blood is not on your hands, your problem is solved. But if he's a true prophet, then we'll be in good shape. But they did not listen to him. So this is the kind of compromise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that do not compromise. And this compromise comes back to us. Because today, people want Muslims to compromise their principles, be flexible. And sometimes, because of the situation we are in the world of weakness, and people are compromising, you know. Who said, well, biggest support comes for the Muslim from such and such group, and such and such group. And those groups may be on complete sin and complete misguidance, and we want to partner with them and we want to support them. So you have to understand that there are unacceptable compromises, because there are constants in our deen. We cannot compromise the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot compromise the risala of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We cannot compromise what is right and wrong, halal and haram. We cannot compromise good akhlaq. I mean, these are constant. Truthfulness will remain truthfulness, is part of our deen. Tawheed is part of our deen. Justice is part of our deen. So we cannot compromise any of these just because we want support of another group, because we think it will give us strength. How much strength can a group gives you when you are compromising what Allah has sent you? Okay, just remember that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told to preach clearly, openly, and convey the truth and denounce the opposite. So we should not make any compromises today to get support from other groups and to fit in as open-minded and liberal and quote moderate Muslims. Okay, we are always moderate, but we cannot compromise our principles, the constants of our deen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُتَعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. And do not obey, do not follow حَلَّاف. The word حَلَّاف means somebody who constantly takes an oath. وَاللَّهِ, you know, by Allah, I swear by Allah, you know, always taking an oath and swearing. Okay? Why does a person constantly have to swear? You go to a store in any of the Muslim countries, they're selling you, Wallahi, this is the way, Wallahi ladim, this is this, Allah in everything. Why do they have to do that? Wallahi, I am not making one penny on this, at this price. The person who has to swear all the time, because he's a liar, and people see that. So now he's trying to show that. Okay, they cheat people, which is a major sin, and make it even worse by bringing Allah and swearing on that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not obey these halaf who swear all the time. Hilf means an oath, who take an oath. Maheen, halaf in maheen means someone who is despicable, who is base, who has no principles, who would sell anyone, he would sell his soul for something, for the right price. He is a low life, if you see, who has no real aspiration. That people who have no good aspirations in life, and we are not talking about wealth, we are talking about good character and things like that, who can be easily bought and sold, who have no principles, he says, do not follow people like that. So now we are starting here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one after the other, he's talked about the ideal character, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he is presenting to us the opposite characteristics. Okay, that's what you should aim for, to be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I don't want you to be like these people. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines 9 different character traits, one after another, which are ugly traits from which you should keep a distance. And these are traits which we have to again look within ourselves. That do I have some of these traits? Okay, we may have them, might have one of them. We may have a trace of it. I mean, you do not, if you do some of those character, have at some of, sometimes, then we do have that character trait, which we need to get rid of. So we've mentioned two, this person who is a liar and takes oath, who is dishonorable, who has no principle, bought and sold easily. And when we have these traits, which Allah has called despicable, we should also, when you choose a leader, what should you look for? What should you look for? That they do not have these character traits. When you choose a teacher or a sheikh, you should make sure they don't have these character traits, no matter how much they know. Because Allah has condemned these traits. So we have to look at all of those things. And of course, we shouldn't have them ourselves. Okay? And therefore, when we choose, whether we choose leader of a country, we choose leader of a society, or choose leader of the masjid, make sure that they don't have these traits. Who we learn from, they don't have these traits. Who we listen to as preachers, they do not have these traits. And in today's world, it also applies in blogs and in websites and all of those things that people put in their profiles and posts, that it should not have any of these characteristics if the person is to be considered worthy of even listening to. Okay. So we have to use filters of haya. Does this person have haya? Is he truthful? Is he trustworthy? Is she show justice? Do they backbite? And all the time, you know, we have people who will come to you, you know, so-and-so, Dak Saab, so-and-so is doing this, just as did this. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attitude was? He told his companions, don't come and tell me anything negative about any of my companions. We are all human beings. We may have something. Don't tell me about it, because I want to see and meet that person thinking good of him. Because once you tell me, you get tinged. You tell me something about him, then even though it may not be the truth, but it, in my mind, I think of it, a person in that negative way. So next trait that Allah mentions is Hammazin Masha'im Binamim. Hammaz is the one, and you know, وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ. Remember, Hammaz is the one who slanders, who backbites, who speaks ill about people, who gossips. Okay? who prods. Mahmaz is a prod which you use for an animal who jabs at people. Okay. So Allah, Hamaz is the ultimate level of that, you know, the superlative, the one who always does that. But even a little bit of that is just as bad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the characteristic, the one who swears, who lies, who has no character, and who is a Hamaz, who talks badly about people. Using words that are sharp and that are hurtful behind their back. That's called Hamz. If you say things in front of people, that's called Lamz. Okay. What is the importance of this? There is a hadith that tells us that people, the punishment of the grave is for people who do that. Remember? Anybody remember this hadith? The Prophet ﷺ is traveling and the camel starts to buck and he stops and people wonder what's going on. He said, there is a grave here of two people who are undergoing punishment of the grave. And the animals know about it, so they are scared of what's going on. And he said, and there, it was not for for what people consider major two things. They did not take care of their purity. They were careless with their urine, of their clothes and their body. And two, they did not take care of the tongue. They were hamaz, used to slander. For this, there is punishment in the grave. The Prophet ﷺ said about this trait that no slanderer, backbiter will enter. لا يدخل الجنة, will not enter Jannah. This is such a big crime. And he, in one hadith, he talks about the best of you have these characteristics. And then he said, and the worst of you have the characteristic of a hamaz. So, we should always remember, even if you see something negative in a person, you talk to that person with wisdom, with advice, at the right time, gently. You don't expose anybody's mistakes to others, even though they're making that. You see somebody drinking alcohol, you do not expose that. Because if you cover somebody's faults, Allah will cover your faults. Yet you don't condone it, you talk to that person because it's your job to advise them privately. Masha'im binameen. Masha from Masha means to walk, roam around, means traveling all over the world. Binameen, with namima. Taking stories from one to the other to cause enmity. You know what he said about you? You know what she said about you? Making up to cause friendships to disappear and enmity to develop. Okay? That is called namima. That's another one of the major sins. Gossip. Malicious gossip. In that gathering, so-and-so said this about so-and-so. Okay? Now you get it to the person and now you cause people to become enemies and resentful and cause trouble between people. So this is another trait that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ means one who obstructs goodness, acts of goodness. Somebody, remember, somebody is praying, he stops him from praying. Somebody is doing dhikr, he makes ridicule, stops him from doing. Somebody is giving charity, he stops him from doing that. Why do you have to? Somebody is cleaning the masjid, he said, why do you have to do this? They pay somebody to do it. مَنَّاءٍ لِلْخَيْرِ at different levels. Okay, it doesn't have to be, you know, stopping you from Islam. That's the ultimate. Stopping you from going for Hajj or for Umrah or something. That this one, he prevents and hinders all good deeds. مَعْتَدٍ means he exceeds all bounds. He is an aggressor, he transgresses, he attacks, he's outrageous, harming people physically, psychologically. That's called i'tada. So mu'tadin, who exceeds all bounds. Now, there are different levels of this. How do you transgress against people? Simple thing. There are four people waiting to get into the elevator. There's room for only four. And you cut in front and you get inside. That's i'tada, transgression of somebody's right. And in Islam, we are entering the masjid. And you are on the left and you go in first. Without offering the person on your right to go in first. That's a form of atadab. Okay. There is one samosa left. And you are hungry and you liked it. So you see someone going there and you go quicker and you say, let me clean this up. That's atadab. Let small levels. This is where we have to start. Mu'tadin athim. Athim means who is sinful. We also transgress against people with our tongues, not just physically, by saying things about them, by cursing people, you know. Lanatullahi on falana and so on and so forth. Now, you must remember that sometimes the companions of the Prophet ﷺ came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, when things got out, why don't you curse so-and-so, the enemies? And you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? He said, I was not sent as a la'an, a person who curses. I was sent as a rahmah. And he forbade cursing Abu Jahl after he was dead. Even Abu Jahl, his worst enemy, people started saying, he said, I don't want you to curse him. You know why? Yes. Well, one thing is, usme to izafa kuch ho nahi sakta, kyunki to gaya jahannam. But lekin, you see, Ikrima ibn Abi Jahl became a Muslim. Other relatives of Abu Jahl had become Muslim. If in front of them you curse his father or his brother, in his heart at least he will feel bad. So this is the feeling of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's not going to make change anything anyway. So just remember, we are not sent to curse people. We are sent to make dua for people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for his enemies for their guidance. And this mu'tadin athim, this aggression can go all the way to torturing and killing people. Okay. And the word athim is again a superlative of ithm. Ithm is sin, evil, criminal behavior, one who is a perpetual, who is known as a sinner. So don't be like that. Another characteristic. Utullin ba'da dhalika zaneen. Utul means someone who has no manners, who is very crude, who is very rude, vicious, greedy, unwilling to accept the truth, who will fight you on to the extent of being harsh. Utul is also used for somebody who uses excessive force to retaliate. In other words, this can be an individual person. Somebody said something to you, and you come back at him with 10 times more than that. He said some word that was harsh and now you start cursing him with all kinds of bad words. And this also happens in physical, you know, as individuals and as nations. It's called disproportionate response. You know, we see this in the world today. Somebody sent one little thing and the whole country gets bombed. Disproportionate response. This is called utul. Vicious response. Because why should we remember that? Because two wrongs don't make a right. In mathematics, yes, negative multiplied by negative becomes positive, right? But not in these. That's why elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, good and evil are not equal. He said, dispel or repel evil by good. And therefore, those from whom, between whom you had enmity, with whom you had enmity, will become your dearest friend. وَتُلِّمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. And in spite of all of these, and it's, you know, having these traits, he is zanim. Zanim is somebody who has an identifying characteristics, who is just known for something. And in this case, known because of his sinful behavior, known for his evil. And there is another meaning of zanim, which means someone of low birth. In other words, whose father is not known. That's another meaning of zanim. Now again, some of the mufassirun have said that these characteristics were again mostly for addressing, because the one who fits these was the same one, which is Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. However, it can fit many other people, and you don't have to have every one of these traits. And we have to, so we can say that, well, this is for him. It's for us that we don't want any of these traits. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn from what we have learned, and to screen ourselves, not project this on others, for the good qualities and the bad traits, and to work and make lot of, to correct those, and ask sincerely in dua, Ya Allah, show me my traits, my characteristics, my actions, my decisions that you don't like. And then give me tawfiq to do tawbah and to change my decisions for future to only those that which you like. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.